Hello and welcome to this episode of Saber Speaks. My name is Tom Lee. I'm the interim superintendent and host for this show during the 23-24 school year. Well, as we started this show earlier in the fall, we started with district business. And we had district personnel like Jesse Pangan, who's our director of buildings and grounds, and Joe Prom, who's our director of business and finance. And they were on talking about the indoor air quality and HVAC project over at Riverview. Then we went to programming, and we've had several different episodes on programming, including student leadership up at the high school. We had two episodes on CKLA, that would be Core Knowledge Language Arts at all of our elementary buildings. We also had an episode on Veterans Day, and then we had a ninth grade English episode. Today, we're turning back to business, and with me is my guest, Joe Prom, Director of Business and Finance here in Sartell St. Stephen. Joe, welcome.
Welcome, Tom. Good morning. Today is December 11th. It's a Monday, and this time of year, obviously, we've got the holidays coming up, but more exciting than that, we've got it's truth and taxation time. So we've got a board meeting on December 18th, a week from now, and we'll be presenting our truth and taxation presentation. It's a public meeting where people can ask questions, and later in the meeting, the board will be asked to approve our preliminary our tax levy for taxes payable during 2024.
Great, and you know, I get it. generally, homeowners, they get their tax bill and they see their taxes have gone up. A lot of times that's been impacted by the increase of value in their homes. Mm-hmm. And then they're also looking at their overall tax bill. They're looking at their total increase. But when they break it down, somewhere in there are schools. And so one of the things I thought would be important is for our listening audience to hear a little bit about the process and all that kind of stuff. So Joe, could you kind of help us learn about, you know, how does all the things that go into the tax for schools?
Yeah, it's quite a process. It really starts back in the legislative session, actually. So when the legislators are meeting, starting back in January, they are passing bills that may have an impact on how property taxes are calculated, mm-hmm. for schools, for cities, for counties, all jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. And our tax levy is really driven by those formulas that are agreed upon in statute, sometimes by the state aids they approve that impact some of our tax levies. So it all kind of starts there. The lawmakers make laws in the spring. In the summer, there's a window for school business officials like myself to input some things about our district and to verify some data about our district, such as, you know, what voter-approved building bonds do we have, and what are we going to owe for those in the next couple years. They verify what our enrollment projections are and whether we have things like community ed programs, early childhood programs, how much we pay for unemployment to employees. Those types of things are questions that they go through and ask throughout that process. And then we have to verify the data that they have on file and also provide some additional details to them. So that's a kind of an information gathering phase starts in late July and throughout August. And that's handled by the Department of Education. And then, using all that data and based on statutes, MDE, or the Minnesota Department of Ed, calculates every district's proposed levy.
Yeah, and I sat in on that webinar with you, and our proposed levy sheet was like 39 pages. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's about the same for every district. It's a standardized program that MDE uses. They've used the same program for a long, long, long time. And based on all the formulas that go into school district taxes, it's a 39-page document at this point, and we go through those and we review that, and people from the Department of Ed discuss, you know, changes from last year to this year and things like that, and we come up with a preliminary levy that we ask the board to approve in September. So by statute, the board has to approve that by September 30th, and we submit that data to our local county auditors back in September.
And normally we ask the board to approve the maximum levy because we know that some of those calculations may change after September 30th. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, when we get the data, the first time we get the data, it's usually September 8th or 9th. We have our standard board meeting in there, usually around the 20th of September. Mm-hmm. And then we are asking the board at that point to approve our preliminary levy. And we ask them to approve it as maximum because sometimes between the time that we have the calculation and the end of September, there are tweaks that are made at MDE because they find some formulas that were in error, mm-hmm. you know, at the time.
Yep.
So we ask the board to approve maximum. They approve maximum. And by the end of September, we know what that amount is. It's submitted to the county auditor. And the amount on that tax levy cannot change from the end of September through December unless there is an election that happens in the November general election.
And that's really the same process that every school district in the state of Minnesota goes through, correct?
Yep.
It's every, not unique to South
every Dallas. Single district does that every year.
Right.
So this year we did not have a November election. Some districts did, you know, asking for building improvements or an operating levy or anything of that nature, but we did not have any questions on the ballot. So the tax levy that was approved back in September and submitted to the county is the same that I'll be presenting next week at Truth and Taxation. In between there, the county uses that data and every homeowner's market value data to send them a notice of what their taxes are going to be. And like you mentioned earlier, that includes not only our taxes as a school district, but also whatever jurisdictions you live in. So the county you live in, the city you live in, or township. Sometimes there's watershed district taxes mm-hmm. or fees or assessments on there. And along with any special assessments you might have for improvements that have been made that impact your property. So mm-hmm. all those come on one sheet. It'll show your market value last year, your market value this year, your taxes from all those different entities last year in comparison to this year, and the total change. And you alluded to this a little bit earlier, but the biggest driver of what those changes are going to be for you are typically what your assessed property value did. If it stayed the same, your taxes are typically going to be pretty close to the same.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a slight up or down, but if they went up, you know, chances are your taxes will go up based on what your market value did.
Well, and there are some things that are unique to school districts. For example, we get something called equalization aid in a couple of different areas. And so when our housing values go up, the state sees an increased tax capacity. And so therefore, that may impact how much money we get in equalization aid, where that equals if our housing values go up enough, like what happened this year, mm-hmm. our equalization aid actually goes down. And for us to get the same amount of dollars, that's part of what gets passed on to the local residents and local taxpayers is that change. It's really more of a shift. It's not new revenue, correct?
Yeah, so I think it makes more sense to just kind of explain how our data looks for this upcoming year.
Sounds great.
And yes, absolutely, that impacts our aid versus levy mix that gets approved in December. So our market value for the Sartell St. Stephen School District increased by 19% in 2002. So
2022,
I'm sorry.
Yep.
So the average property tax or property owner saw the value of the market value of the property on their statement from the county assessor increased by 19% in 2022. Then for 2023, for this year, their average assessed value increased by another 9%. So people saw an increase of about 28% in their value over 2 years,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to have an impact on the amount of property taxes you pay. That 19% that increased the previous year, that impacts a lot of the calculations of our levies for this year. So there's kind of a one-year lag in that and how it impacts us. So when the state and when MDE is calculating all the levies, all the things we can levy for, they look at that market value and they come up with the tax capacity or the basically the tax paying power of your local residents,
mm-hmm.
and they determine then how much state aid you get for certain things. So for example, for debt service, we have to levy debt service to pay the bonds that we've issued. We have to pay back building bonds, you know, like the bonds that were approved to build the high school and make other improvements.
Yep.
We have to pay those back over time. So we have to levy for that annually, and then there's some state aid related to that. So last year, our taxes that were approved last year, there was a levy of $6.6 million in debt service and related aid of about $1.5 million. So the total money that we got to pay off bonds was just over $8.1 million. That was approved last December, and we collected that money in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was $8.1 million we needed. This year, we only needed $7.9 million because mm-hmm. our debt service payment the following year is slightly lower. However, instead of a local levy of $6.4 million, we have to levy about $500,000 more. We've got to levy just over $7.1 million because our equalization aid for that dropped from $1.5 million down to just under $800,000. So about a $700,000 difference in the aid we're receiving. So as taxes went up by about $500,000, our aid went down by about $700,000. Mm-hmm. So the net impact of that is about $200,000 less that we're getting,
mm-hmm.
But more impact on the local property taxpayers.
I think that's important. It's that shift, right? We're not actually getting more revenue as our local residents see their taxes go up.
Right.
It's just a shift from who's responsible to pay those taxes.
Yep.
Or to pay the district for that. Is it the state of Minnesota or is it the local resident? And as a state sees our valuations going up, they see increased ability to pay taxes, right?
Yeah, and this isn't unique to Sartell-St. Stephen. Across the board, a lot of counties and cities and, you know, whoever is doing the assessing, and honestly, it's driven by the real estate market. As values go up, the counties want to see that reflected in what your assessed values are. So as those go up, the ability to pay taxes based on property taxes goes up. And at the same time, if the legislative formulas don't increase to account for that,
mm-hmm.
That's really a stagnant amount of state aid. That's actually a reduced amount of state aid that's being paid out to districts statewide, because as property values go up, but their calculating factors for those kind of stay the same over the years, the property values kind of surpass what's available in aid for a lot of districts.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why we belong to an organization called Schools for Educational Equity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're working on changing the formulas to help school districts like Sartell-St. Stephen not see quite the shift from the state aid to the local resident. They are a lobbying group, and they are completely dedicated to schools for educational equity in funding.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I want to make that clear to the audience, because it's really about equitable funding of schools across the state of Minnesota.
Right. So there are a number of our levies that have a related state aid. You know, when we ask the public to pass an operating referendum, there's a state aid portion that the state matches some of those funds. When we get long-term facilities maintenance to keep up our buildings in proper working condition, there's a state aid match that goes with those. And those fluctuate, again, based on what the whole tax capacity or whole market value of the district is. And as our total numbers go up, the aid related to those goes down.
Yep.
So our total levy that we're asking the board to approve this December is just under $13.5 million. It's $13,478,000. The total levy we asked them to approve last year, which was which went on the tax rolls, was $12,390,000. So a total difference of just over $1 million, $1,087,000. And that represents an 8.8% change. So that's just the levy component. Went up by just over $1 million total. The state aids related to those went from 4.6 in 2022 and now to 2023, that's 3.3. So a loss of about $1.3 million in related aid with a levy that went up by almost 1.1. So the net total there is we're seeing actually about $200,000 less when you combine the levy and the aids related to those this year as compared to last year. So although our tax levy that will be approved in December is a little more than $1 million higher than the previous year, the total funding related to those is $200,000 less.
So not only are we not, so as our local property tax payer mm-hmm. is seeing an increase in taxes, we were hoping that we would be revenue neutral, right?
Right.
But we're actually losing to it.
We're actually losing a little bit. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So how the big question, right, for most people is, well, what does that mean to my taxes?
Right.
So, if your property value is $250,000, if it's $250,000, if it was $250,000 2 years ago, and stayed $250,000 last year, you actually saw a 13% decrease last year.
You would have seen,
yep. And then if you still had that property that's valued at $250,000, your taxes would actually be going down again this year, only by about a buck.
Right.
So basically staying the same if your property value stayed the same, even though our whole tax levy is going up by 9%.
Right.
Because the market value also went up by about 9%.
Right.
However, obviously, most people don't see that. Most people get an increase on their local property taxes because they see the value of their home, the assessed value, going up.
Correct.
So if your house value went up by the average each of the last 2 years, it went from about $250,000 in 21 to about $298,000 in 22. Mm-hmm. That's a 19% increase, and that was the average for the district. In that case, your taxes went up by about $460, or about 4.6%. You went from about $1,402 to about $1,466.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with a normal, that's what the typical property owner of a $250,000 property would have seen, because that's about what their value went up. Going into this year then, going up by about another 9% in their value, their house is now valued at about $325,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes for about $140 increase to their local property taxes related to school districts, which is a 9.5% increase mm-hmm. overall. So it's really driven by the value of your home from 1 year to the next.
That makes complete sense. And again, I know that most people, they just look at their total tax bill and they look at how much it's gone up, and that's all taxes. That would include city and or township, county, other types of districts like watershed districts and schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh my goodness, my taxes have gone up. But the school portion of that is 100% based on the valuation of their homes going up.
Right.
Yep.
And really, I just, the other piece of this I really want to drive home is, for us, this is the first step in budgeting for the following school year.
Mm-hmm.
This money will be collected in May and October of 2024, and it'll be related, it's the first building block, revenue building block of our budget for the 24-25 school year. So this is where we start, and basically we're told what we're getting.
Yep.
Based on how MDE calculates these. We do not dictate what this is. That's different for school districts than it is for cities and for counties and for some other jurisdictions, where they set their budget for next year and their budget is really driving what that tax levy is. It's the opposite way for us. We find out what our tax levy is, and for us, that's about 10% of our general fund revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that out this time of year. We use it as kind of the starting block for our future budget. And then we move forward.
Yep. Yeah, I want to emphasize that local tax is about 10% of our general fund revenue, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And as we close here, I just want to remind the audience some things. see, the Schools for Educational Equity had a document that came out probably late September, early October, that basically ranked school districts based on total revenue that they see from all sources, right? From the state aid, from state formulas, from local, and so on. And Sartell St. Stephen was ranked 308th out of 328 of all the school districts in the state of Minnesota. So there are only 20 school districts that get less revenue than we do per pupil from all different sources.
Correct.
Right? And so so we do have our Truth in Taxation meeting at 6 o'clock on Monday, December 18th, out at the high school.
Correct.
And you'll be there with this presentation. And anyone who's interested in asking questions or finding out more information about this, you're more than welcome to come on out and join us for that meeting. But with that, Joe, let me thank you for being here today.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and that was helpful for hopefully the listening audience. It was certainly helpful for myself. So without further ado, thanks, everyone, and have a great day.